R2, hallelujah. I was just sitting here and closing my eyes and enjoying the presence of the Lord without saying anything. I had another revelation. In Exodus, when God called Moses up to the mountain, he came before the cloud, and he had to sit there for like 6 days. And then the seventh day, God called him into the cloud. And I really didn't think too much about it, you know, as I was sitting here. I believe Moses, as he was sitting and waiting, he wasn't just looking around bored or passing the time and just thinking, okay, maybe it's today, maybe it's today, maybe it's today, maybe it's today. I believe he was feeling the presence of the Lord outside the cloud. And he was just enjoying the presence of the Lord. See, when you just sit before the Lord, you really don't have to say anything to him. You should just be waiting for him to say something to you. And whenever you feel the manifest presence of God, you should still yourself and be quiet and wait and listen. Because he will call you into the cloud. Hallelujah. So, let's go to Colossians this morning. Colossians, part two of brotherly and sisterly love. Colossians, chapter 3, and starting with verse 12. You are always and dearly loved by God. Everybody say always. Always. So robe yourselves with virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others, and be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble, here it is, unoffendable in your patience with others. Anybody ever got that mastered yet? That one really hit me between the eyes. Unoffendable. It's one thing to be unoffendable. It's another thing to be unoffendable with patience. Love is patient, right? It's one thing to show love. It's another thing to show patience with love. That's the key. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith. Forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them. Forgiveness is a gift. Whether they choose to open it or not, you're still to give the gift. Amen? For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Here it is. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. Want to see how mature you are as a Christian? Look how much you love one another. You want to see how mature you are as a Christian? Look how much you love the world. You want to see how mature you are as a Christian? Look how much you love yourself. If you can't get loving yourself done, the other two are obsolete. Jesus put eternal worth on you at the cross. Hallelujah. First Thessalonians chapter 4, 9 and 10. Paul says, there's no need for anyone to say much to you about loving your fellow believers. And I pray this is the reality for the encounter. For God is continually teaching you to unselfishly love one another. You need God's love to love one another. I said, you need God's love to love one another. You need God's love to love your spouse. You need God's love to love your children. You need God's love to love your dog, your cat, your fish. You need God's love for everything. Indeed, your love is what you're known for throughout Macedonia. Wouldn't it be an awesome testimony that the encounter is known throughout Kenosha as the church that has brotherly love? People who are rejected, neglected, cast out, forgotten, they know a place they can go and just be loved. Love works no wrong to its neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself, for love is the fulfillment of the entire law. How many laws are there? 613, to be accurate, on the prayer shawl. More oral and tradition laws than that. Love conquers them all. Love fulfills them all. Hallelujah. We urge you, beloved ones, to let this unselfish love increase. Everybody say increase and flow. Does anybody hear a name Flo? I'm still looking for Flo. Through you more and more. That's what's happening in our services. Whether you really perceive it or not, God's love is flowing in and out of you more and more. God does that work both in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And what is his good pleasure? That you would love one another even as I have loved you. That's his good pleasure. First John chapter 3, 16 through 18 says, this is how we have discovered love's reality. Do you really want to discover God's fullness of love in reality in your life? I mean, do you really want to walk in that supreme, superior reality that most of the church does not walk in? I do. Jesus sacrificed his life for us. Because of this great love, we should be willing to lay down our lives for one another. Now, here's where the rubber's going to meet the road, church. Okay? We're talking about brotherly love and the kingdom of love, but this is where it really gets down to application, okay? And this is how you can gauge your love. These are some of the marks of maturity of Christ's love in your life. Because you just can't love in word, you've got to love in deed and in action. I said you've got to love in deed and in action. Loves are powerless without action. Faith without works is dead, being alone. You've got to do something. Hallelujah. You've got to move for something. You've got to be stirred for something. You've got to speak out for something. If anyone sees his fellow believer in need and has the means to help them, yet shows no pity and closes his heart against him, how is it even possible that God's love lives in him? Ooh. That's the difference maker. Even sinners in the world will help one another out more than the church does one another. I don't think I got one amen there. People in the world will go out of their way to love one another and help one another out. Jesus said sinners even love sinners. Beloved children, our love can't be an abstract theory we only talk about, but a way of life demonstrated through our loving deeds. Hallelujah. He that gives more lives more. Out of the treasure of the heart, the mouth speaks. With what measure you meet, it will be measured to you. Hallelujah. I want to love greater. I want to love deeper. I want to love wider. I want to be a resource center for every need that comes along my path. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3, 27 through 29. Never walk away from someone who deserves help. I'll just pray for you, brother. I'll just pray for you, sister. God will take care of your need. No, God in you will take care of their need. ASAP. Not come back in a month and ask me. Now. Now faith is. You say, well, I ain't got it. God will give it to you to give to them. God will work it out for you to bless them. God is looking at the response of faith and obedience to his word. Hallelujah. I love to help people. I love to give to people. I'm a goofy giver, ask my wife. When I first got saved, we had a missionary in the Assemblies of God came, and I didn't have any money. I had a Timex watch, though. I dropped it in the offering basket. Don't know if you needed a watch or not. Maybe somebody did. Hallelujah. I live to give. My wife's kind of having a meltdown because I bumped up my tithe to 20% now. Thanks be to God. I'm a hilarious giver. A friend of mine knew a man who's with the Lord now, but God blessed him with a business, and he gave 90% of his business away, of his income from the business, and lived off 10%. That's hilarious giving. That's meeting every need. If everybody would do that, no missionaries would come home from the field. No churches would shut down. Hallelujah. You may be the only one who can bail out a community. Can God trust you with that? Hallelujah. Love never fails. I'll tell you, as soon as I did that, I won't tell you how much it was, but someone blessed me significantly with multiple thousands of dollars in a check. Multiple thousands of dollars. Multiple thousands of dollars. Faith without works is dead. Let me put a plug in here. You want to know if God is real? Or if you want to see God move miraculously in your life, he who lives, gives more, lives more. Giving is the way to know that God is real. You can never outgive him, especially in love. Hallelujah. Don't tell your neighbor, maybe some other time or try me tomorrow, when the money's right there in your pocket. I mean, the message is pretty good, translation. Don't figure out ways of taking advantage of your neighbor when he's sitting there trusting and unsuspecting. You'd never know the mental or emotional state of somebody who is struggling. And you give them something of love that you have in abundance, can turn their whole world around. By the way, Ecclesiastes says money answers all things in this realm. Hallelujah. Money is not evil. The root of it is, I'm telling you, the more you love, the more you'll give. I'll find it for you, sis. It's in there. Money answers all things. Hallelujah. The reason things are not getting answers is because people love money more than they love God. In the church. The book of Acts said they sold and gave away everything and had all things common and no one had need. You can't talk about love until you're willing to demonstrate that kind of commitment. You got to put your money where your mouth is. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 10:19 says, hallelujah. I don't need a new vehicle. I've got a 2002 Jeep Grand Cherokee, the last of the straight sixes, 228,000 miles, and God keeps it rolling. The elder said this, it also says in that verse, I think wine makes life joyful. I think we need some more drunken elders. Stretch your hands forth toward the elders. Just say, God, get them drunk and intoxicated right now with the Spirit. You open yourself up wide for that one, bro. Wide. New wine, right. Thanks for clarifying that. Which I'm sure at some point in the Kingdom series we'll get to this. By the way, Steve, at some point we get to that, I know we're probably going to have you share the difference between the old and new wineskin. What an awesome revelation. What an awesome revelation. If you want to know it, go talk to Steve Crane. Awesome. Whoo. Just get everybody drunk. They'll just empty their pockets, Holy Ghost. You'll see wallets flying through the air at one another. What do you need? Brother, here. What do you need? Sister, here. Hallelujah. Dude, I want to get so crazy in love that I start paying off people's houses and vehicles and debts. Hallelujah. To one, nobody has any need around me. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives this parable. Don't gather and heap up and store for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust and worm consume and destroy, where thieves break through and steal. But gather and heap up and store for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust or nor worm consume and destroy, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is sound, your entire body will be full of light. But if your eye is unsound, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the very light in you, your conscience, is darkened, how dense is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise and be against the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Deceitful riches, money, possessions, or whatever is trusted in. Now, to give you really the context of this parable, do you know what Jesus is talking about? He's talking about being generous. He's talking about being a generous giver toward your brother and sister. Generosity goes a long way because it's free of greed and selfishness. James chapter 2. My brothers and sisters, what good is it if someone claims to have faith but demonstrates no good works to prove it? How could this kind of faith save anyone? For example, if a brother or sister in the faith is poorly clothed and hungry, and you leave them saying, "Goodbye, I hope you stay warm and have plenty to eat," but you do not provide them with a coat or even a cup of soup, what good is your faith? Wow. Do you see how brotherly love is tied into faith, which is tied into giving? That is the demonstration of brotherly love. John 15, verses 12 to 13. So this is my command. Love each other deeply, as much as I have loved you. For the greatest of love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. That's what Jesus said, no greater love than a person than this, that they lay down their life for their friend. What does that look like? What does that look like in the bride of Christ to lay down your life for one another? If it costs you your very life. If it costs you your very life savings. If it costs you your very life possessions. That is brotherly love. That is extreme, extravagant, unselfish, godlike love. Hallelujah. Is this good? You don't have to say very much preaching this part. The word just preaches for itself. I mean, it's like when I was doing this, conviction after conviction after conviction, right? Not condemnation, just seeing, I could love better here. I could do better here. Yeah. Wow. That's awesome, sis. Praise God. Imagine this getting into the community and all the prisoners of war in the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm just seeing it right now. Walking past someone, being full of the love of God and looking at them and them crying out, "What must I do to be saved?" Love is the greatest. Hallelujah. The world is full of post-traumatic stress dysfunction from the fall. The adversary has ravished and decimated and desecrated and destroyed those who are made in the image of God. But the Spirit of the Lord is upon you.
Yeah.
Listen, it needs to go from within you to upon you. What is the difference? Love. Now you don't walk around with an accusing, critical, judgmental focus. You walk around with a broken, contrite, compassionate heart for those lives who have been destroyed by the works of darkness. Jesus ministered even through anger in love. Remember the first part? Be angry and sin not. That you should be angry at the things that are God is angry at. He's angry at the works of darkness. He's angry at the things that have destroyed mankind since the beginning. And when he was in a meeting with the Sanhedrin, these were the leaders of Israel. These were the ones who should have been known for their love, mercy, and compassion for the nation. And a man walks in with a crippled hand, and they're thinking, is he going to heal on the Sabbath? Because we're going to catch him. And Jesus looks round about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. Because not one of them said, what can we do for our fellow brother that has a need? And Jesus took care of it. And they hated him for it. Hallelujah. Jesus said, don't be surprised if the world hates you. Some people just hate God because he's God. And they hate you because you love God. And some people will just begin to hate you more when you love more. But that should not stop you. Hallelujah. You should go for love's full mark of maturity. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12. Man, this is such good stuff. I mean, let the inner movement of your heart, everybody say the inner movement. That's what God is looking at all the time. He's looking at the hidden man or woman of the heart. Always be to love one another and never play the role of an actor wearing a mask. Have you ever worn a mask with your brother or sister? Especially the last year, good one, bro. Just pull the mask off. Go ahead, just pull it off. As a prophetic act, hallelujah, of love. No more masks, Jesus. No more spiritual masks. Despise evil and embrace everything that is good and virtuous. Be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believer as members of one family. Ooh, listen to this next one. This is really good. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor for one another. What would that look like? Sorry, bro, I'm going to outdo you. I'm going to honor this person more than you are. Sorry, sis, I'm going to outdo you. I'm going to honor this leader more than you are? What would everybody look like if they were all honored right? You know what they look like? Jesus himself. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward him boiling and hot, radiant with the glow of the Holy Spirit, and let you fill him with excitement as you serve him. God doesn't like a boring bride. He likes a lively bride. He likes a passionate bride. He likes an excited bride. He likes a bride that can't just wait to love on him and love on someone else. Hallelujah. Let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continual joy. Don't give up in a time of trouble, but commune with God at all times. Take a constant interest. Everybody say a constant interest in the needs of God's beloved people and respond by helping them. I told you this would preach by itself. There's no commentary needed. I don't even feel like adequate to bring this message. I thought, oh my goodness, God, there's one, there's two, there's three, there's four, there's five. I need to work on. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. We are called to love one another, so it is him who works in you both to will and do of that good pleasure. Thanks be to God. And eagerly welcome people as guests into your home. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we just eagerly welcome guests into this home. Eagerly welcome guests into this home. You want to hear an awesome story? All right. I don't know if I told this before. I think I have. But one service, Elder Dennis and I were out there, and a guy walks in with a cane and a beer in his hand and starts talking to us. So we're talking to the man and never seen him before. He tells us, I'm a gangster hitman. I've killed like 20, 25 people, and I'm on the run right now. Now, Dennis is packing, I'm not, so I probably, this one's yours, bro. He goes, but they were pretty rotten people. They deserved it. Those were the ones that deserved it. And you're thinking, what do I do? Call the police? You know, do we pin this guy to the ground? What do? Guy just confesses like, you know, walks into your church. So we just keep talking to him. And Dennis goes, you know, you mind if we pray for you? And he's like, no, that's okay. Dennis goes, do you mind if I lay hands on you? Guy goes, that wouldn't be a good idea. He's like, okay. So he prayed for the guy. God touches him. He goes, man, that worship sure sounds good in there. He says, you mind if I go in there? Beer in his hand. We're like, no, go ahead. So he walked in there with a beer, sat in the pew, and stayed for a while. He got up and left, never saw him again. Eagerly welcome those type of guests in here. Now, I would have got the guy born again and let him call the authorities on himself. Because if his heart ain't changed, his behavior won't change. I want to see those type of people in here. All right, now one other story? Kind of in the storytelling mood, I guess. So when we began like corporate prayer a decade ago, I remember one Friday night, two guys come in. I think they sat over in this side toward the back. Everybody's up front praying. Go back there and welcome them and say, thanks for coming out. Never seen them before. They're like, you guys are doing a good thing here. Keep up the good work. Like, awesome. You want to come up and join us in front? They're like, nah, we'll just hang back here. So we come back, we're praying, and they get up, start walking out. They walk out. And Dennis says, man, I'm going to go, you know how Dennis is, I'm going to go say goodbye to him and thank him for coming. So Dennis, you know, they just walked out the doors, walked out those doors. And then Dennis says, I'm going to go catch him and say, thanks for coming out. Hope you come back. Goes out to the main doors, looks left and right, and they're gone. I don't care how fast you are. I was a sprinter in high school. I was pretty fast. I'm chunky now, but I was pretty fast, believe it or not. In fact, I ran the 40-yard dash freshman year in 4.87 seconds. Got drafted into track and field. But they were gone. No cars out there. No cars on the side street. A couple angels. Keep up the good work. You guys are doing a good job. That's pretty awesome. I saw this morning, like I saw last week, the veil is no longer there. It's no longer paper thin. I saw angels once again walking up and down in the congregation during worship. If you think that's strange, you just wait till you can see them in the natural. Because you're going to see them in the natural come in and out. You're going to see a whole lot of wild, awesome, glorious stuff like you read about, like the church has never seen before for the last days. Why? Because of brotherly love. Ephesians 4:29 through 32. Never let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth. You know, I've gotten better at that. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. I've gotten better at that. I've been able to hold my tongue more, but I've said it in my heart. Especially when I'm with the public. I'm thinking, you must be a moron. I can't believe you just say something like that or do something like that. You get the moron driving year award today the way you just cut me off. 20-ton vehicle coming in front of you. I never verbalized it, but it was the inner movement. Holy Spirit, that still counts. I still heard it. God's helping us. He's helping us. He's helping us. But instead, let your words become beautiful gifts that will encourage others. Do this by speaking words of grace to help them. To help them. To help them. People in the world need help. They need desperate help. If you could see their heart, you would see 911 on their heart. The Holy Spirit of God has sealed you in Jesus Christ until you experience your full salvation. Thank God for that. That is coming. So never grieve the Spirit of God or take for granted His holy influence in your life. Lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, and insults. But instead be kind and affectionate toward one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? I've been forgiven much. Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. A new commandment I give you. Love one another. Hallelujah. Final scripture of the series. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is Paul the Apostle, apostolic leader of the New Testament. When God calls you into leadership, you will continually be tested. Every thought, every motive, every word, you'll be questioning yourself, reevaluating yourself. It's something that you can never stand if you weren't anointed to stand with. It's hard enough to stand with it. And so you could imagine Paul the Apostle, who has started most of the New Testament churches, he's got the daily care of them on him all. It says, God tested us thoroughly to make sure we were qualified to be trusted with this message. Are you thoroughly being tested because of the message that's within you? If we're not, then we have to reevaluate, because love will always be tested. Always. Be assured that when we speak to you, we were not after crowd approval. Only God approval. I don't need approval of men. I don't even get paid by men. I want heaven's approval on my life. God could pay me. He could pay me through men. I wouldn't mind. But I don't worry about any of that, because I'm a hilarious, jolly giver. And I got continually cash coming in and out. Blessing coming in and out. Overflow coming in and out. Because the more you give, the more you live. Hallelujah. He that sows sparingly, and this is with love or anything else of the fruit of the Spirit, reaps sparingly. He that sows bountifully or generously reaps generously. I don't know about you, I'm not into that sparing stuff. I want the overflow. I don't want it for myself. I want it for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Be assured that when we speak to you, we are not after crowd approval, only God approval. Since we've been through that battery of tests, listen, this body has gone through a lot of tests. A lot of tests for I came here. From the beginning, this body was birthed in a revival and move of God. This body has been persecuted for that move of God. To this day, But we don't need men's approval for what God decides to do. I'd rather have God's approval and be persecuted by the world than have men's approval and be persecuted by no one. It's way too much fun. God is super excited because he's looking for those whose hearts are totally toward him. I like what A.A. Allen said. Some of you know A.A. Allen, revivalist from the past. I love this statement. Because some people have thought that I like OD'd in joy. Or I went too far in joy. But they don't know what happened to me before I got the joy. How I almost OD'd on Tylenol. Okay. A. Allen said this. No one has ever yet gone too far for God. No one, sis. No one yet has ever gone too far for God. What would too far for God look like in a place of brotherly love? Oh, you guys are going too far in love. You better stop. Oh, you got too much joy. You better slow down there. It's just too much. No, you just got too much peace. You need some more trials and hardship because you just got too much peace on your life. You're not normal. Thank God. Jesus was not normal in the sight of the world. Hallelujah. Okay. Since we've been put through that battery of tests, you're guaranteed that both we and the message are free of error, mixed motives, or hidden agendas. We never use words to butter you up. You know, like I said, love will get in your business lovingly. It won't let things go because it sees the gold in you that you need to reach. And God knows, or no one knows better than you. And God knows we never use words as a smokescreen to take advantage of you. Even though we had some standing as Christ's apostles, we never threw our weight around or tried to come across as important with you or anyone else. We weren't aloof with you. We took you just as you were. We were never patronizing, never condescending, but we cared for you. Now listen, the way a mother cares for her children, we loved you dearly. This is the great apostle Paul coming and describing the love like a tender, gentle mother. Not content to just pass on the message. I just don't want to pass on a message. I just don't want to get up here and preach another message and pass on another message. We wanted to give you our hearts. And we did. Stand with me this morning. We need to give each other our hearts. All of it. We need to give the world our hearts. We need to be willing to give everything for one another. Indeed. We need to be willing to go wherever the Spirit of God wants to send us. We need to be willing to give whatever the Spirit of God wants us to give. Hallelujah. I believe that the leadership in this city is going to come through these doors to see how we operate in brotherly love and how we can change this community. I already had a dream about it. In fact, I had a dream one of the elders in it. Hallelujah. Yeah. We are on our way to love's perfection before Jesus returns. And according to Scripture, that must take place before he returns. Because there's a level of maturity and stature that he's coming back for. A fully developed bride, if you would have it, for the honeymoon. How close we are, and how excited heaven is. So, Father, we just thank you for this morning. Your presence is so awesome. It's so tangible. Father, let there be an overflow of your love in this place. Such an overflow that no one ever wants to leave. Such an overflow that the doors are open around the clock. Such an overflow that the sick are brought in here before they're taken to the hospital. Such an overflow, the dead are brought here before they go to the funeral parlor. For love is the fulfillment of the law. And we lay hold by faith in your word that it's you who is working in us both to will and do of your good pleasure. And you will finish the work you've started because you love us. And let us love one another, dear children, for love is of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. Be blessed. Love on one another before you leave. Amen. Amen. Amen.